You have your Bibles today. If you would turn to Luke chapter 17, we're going to be looking at the passage 11 through 19. You know, thank you is definitely the topic today. It's the topic of the week as we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this week. Thanksgiving is a day in which we put things in our life on pause and we give thanks to God for all the things that He has blessed us with in our life. And so we want to look today in Luke chapter 17 at a story of thankfulness. You know, as we think about thanking God, it reminds me of a story that I heard some time ago where there were two men that were walking through a field, and as they were walking through that field, they accidentally stumbled across a bull, and they locked eyes with that bull, and it became enraged and began to chase after them. And they took off running, trying to get away from that bull, and their eyes were set on the fence that was some distance away. And as they were running after that fence, trying and hoping that they would just be able to get on the other side of it, they began to realize that they weren't going to make it. And so one of the guys said to the other one, "Why don't you start praying? Just say a couple of prayers for us so that we will be able to make it across." And the guy said, "Well, I don't know what to say. I've never really prayed in my life." And then one gentleman said, "Well, just pray, just say anything so that we can hopefully make it to the other side of that fence." So the one guy decided, "Well, I'll just pray the only prayer I know, the prayer my father said every Thanksgiving, 'Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us thankful.'" Well, I don't think he really understood what we're supposed to be thankful for. Or the story of Rudyard Kipling. Maybe you know of him as author of The Jungle Book. He was approached one time by a reporter who said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated the money that you make from writing amounts to over $100 per word." So the reporter reached into his pocket and he pulled out a $100 bill and he said, "Mr. Kipling, would you take this $100 bill and give me one of your $100 words?" Mr. Kipling then reached out, he grabbed that $100 bill, put it in his pocket, and said, "Thanks." That simple six-letter word says so much. It has so much weight in it. We've all had experiences in our life where we have sacrificed and served, and we've gone that extra mile, and no one has ever said thanks for anything we've done. And if we don't hear those words, sometimes it can make us feel very bitter. And sometimes we'll begin to say, "Well, no one appreciates me. No one understands how hard I work or how late I stay." But you know, it means something completely different when you go that extra mile and someone comes back to you and very simply says, "Thanks." Six powerful letters. And today we're going to see a story about someone who gets it right. He has the attitude of gratitude correct. And what we're going to see is that our response to what God does for us communicates our gratitude to Him. So let's begin reading here in verse 11 of chapter 17. It says, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance." Now, this is very interesting because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And one of the things that we know about the Jews during this time is they really didn't like the Samaritans. They didn't like them at all. Even if they had to go on a trip, they would go the long way around just so that they didn't have to come into contact with a Samaritan. And we find here Jesus comes across 10 men. And what is interesting about these 10 men is we learn that at least one of them, we know one of them, is a Samaritan. So out of these 10, you have one Samaritan, and it's generally believed by Bible scholars that the other 9 were Jews. And so it is completely inappropriate for these 10 men to be together. to be hanging out with one another because you would not join together with a Samaritan. But here you do. You have a Samaritan alongside other Jews. And the reason why they're spending so much time together is they realize that they have many things in common. One thing that they have in common is that they have a common illness. This common illness that brings these two groups of people together who wouldn't spend time together normally, but now they are, and they're spending all kinds of time together, is because they have leprosy. Leprosy is one of the most feared illnesses in the Bible, and it covered a number of skin problems and diseases. Now today we actually see that there's an actual medical condition that is known as leprosy. It has certain characteristics that go along with it, but in biblical times, it wasn't a very specific disease. It was a disease that covered all types of skin problems, skin rashes, scaling of the skin, sores, open oozing problems with the skin. It was an extremely painful disease, and during this time, the lepers were actually known as the walking dead. You know, could you just imagine seeing a leper and what they would look like with their skin falling off their flesh, and it would just totally distort what they looked like. And because it was such a feared disease, we see that there were certain things set up in the law to keep them away from people. If you had leprosy, you were completely set apart from the rest of society. You were cut off. They had to live by themselves, and they couldn't even live inside the city. They actually had to set up camp outside the city, away from everyone else. And that is why, as Jesus is traveling, we see that he is constantly running into contact with these lepers because they would all be set up outside the city. And so the Jews even saw this disease as a curse from God. And then because it was a curse, only God himself could heal it. No one else could. And so as Jesus runs across these men, everybody else would have said, well, obviously they have done something wrong. They have done something horrible in their life. And so God has cursed them, and he has cursed them with the worst thing known to man. They were now lepers. And so if you go to Leviticus 13, you will see there some of the laws that were set up for the lepers. One of them was that if a leper saw someone coming close to them, they had to all of a sudden began to say, unclean, unclean, stay away from me, I'm unclean, so that nobody would come close to them. Rabbinic literature teaches us that the rabbi said you should not come within 100 paces of a leper. Now, I'm not exactly sure the distance of 100 paces, but it's a pretty good distance. You could not come anywhere close to a leper. And here is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, and he bumps into these guys who live on the outside of the city, who are experiencing excruciating pain, who probably look disgusting. And the law even says that they had to wear torn clothing. So not only would their skin have that issue, but they had to wear torn clothing. And now, maybe some of you are getting ready this week to go out on Black Friday, and you're looking forward to finding some new clothes on sale. And I can probably say that you're not looking forward to then coming home with those new clothes and tearing holes in them. But that's what the lepers had to do. And now as we think about that, I know there are different things, especially with teenagers, about what is cool and what is not. As you know, and when I was young, the big thing that was popular at that point was to wear baggy pants. Just really big pants that were made popular by MC Hammer. And at that point, the older generation said, why are you going to wear baggy pants? The only people that wore baggy pants in my time were those who couldn't afford clothes, and they just had hand-me-downs and couldn't get the size that fits them. Well, my generation said, well, it might not have been cool in your time, but it is cool now. Luckily, baggy pants aren't as cool today, but tearing your clothes or having holes in your clothes is a cool thing with our teenagers today. And often when I see that teenagers with a hole in their jeans or something, as they buy them that way apparently, I often want to go up to them and say, did you get those pants on sale today? 20% off? Well, no, I don't think so. Well, you should have, as your pants are missing 20%, you're missing 20% of your pants there, and they should have given that to you in a sale. But, you know, that's the cool thing today. But let me tell you, teenagers, it wasn't cool for the lepers to wear torn clothes. It wasn't a cool thing. It wasn't the end thing, but as a way of them showing their deep sorrow. It was a way of showing what was happening to them. As you look back in the Old Testament, and it was a sign that they were remorseful, that they were full of deep sorrow. And these lepers, because of their condition, because of their place in society, they had to wear clothes that were torn as a sign of their sorrow. But they also had to cover their faces. The men would have had to do this, to most definitely cover their beards. But it's believed that they would actually have to cover their entire face. And one reason is because they were probably disgusting to look at. But in Jewish culture, there's actually something far more to this. Because see, in Hebrew culture, the most intimate part of the body was the face. And so if you covered the face, it was a sign that you were cut off from intimacy with society. That you couldn't be part of society. So it was a sign of them being cut off from intimacy. And isn't it interesting that the Jews were commanded to go and to seek the face of God? And we often take that today to be, go and find God. But that's not what it meant. No, go seek the face of God is a statement to go find the presence of God. Go seek intimacy with God. Come face to face, so to say. And so these guys, by veiling their face, was a sign that they were cut off from intimacy with the community. And so we see that these 10 lepers, they were cut off from everything. They had lost their families. They had lost their jobs. And guys, you know what it is when you have your job. I'm not saying that this is a good thing. It is not a healthy thing. But guys often find their value in the work that they do. And you say, that's not true. Well, just take this for example. You know, anytime a guy introduces himself to someone else, he's like, hi, I'm Daniel Malone. What's your name? Well, I'm John Smith. Well, nice to meet you. What do you do? It's always a second thing out about how we introduce ourselves. Well, I'm Daniel, and I'm a pastor. And I try to avoid that because then they run the other way. But you know, that's often how men find value in their lives based on what they do, the work that they do. And now these lepers, they can't find value in that because they're not able to even have a job. Well, what do you do? Well, all I do is beg. Because I can't have a job. I don't have much money. I don't have any clothing. My clothing's all torn. I don't have any food. I have to live outside the city. I'm disconnected from my family. The only community that I have are other lepers. And so you find these two cultures, Samaritans and Jews, and they're bound together because they have a common illness. But then we also see in the story that they have a common cry. Look with me in verse 12. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were cleansed. You know, I don't know what it is like to have a face-to-face conversation with Jesus. But can you imagine these guys, when every other human being showed up, they had to make sure they stepped back and began yelling, unclean, unclean, stay away, keep your 100 paces from me. But here they see Jesus, and immediately, instead of yelling out, unclean, unclean, instead they cry out, Master, Rabbi, Jesus, have pity on us. And here's what I love about this passage of Scripture when it says that Jesus saw them. Now, here's an interesting thing about the word saw there. It doesn't mean that he saw them with his eyes. He was perusing the crowd. No, he saw them. It means that he was able to know them. there's a connection of, I don't just see you, but I perceive you. I perceive the pain you are in. I can connect with you where you are. I understand that you are completely cut off from your family. I understand that you are completely cut off from society and cut off from everything that you have known up until this time. I get you. I see you. I love you. And you want to know what Jesus does? He sees them and he stops and talks with them. How many people do you think ever stopped and talked with these 10 men? Probably none. But here is Jesus. Here is the Son of God. Here is God himself who takes time out to converse with these men. And they cry out, God, have pity on us. Now here's the deal. Notice what they ask for. They didn't ask for a miracle. They didn't say, Jesus, heal me. No, they said, Jesus, have pity on us. So we don't know exactly what they're asking for, that they're asking for healing. They could have asked for several different things. But what we see is they are having human interaction. They're saying, God, have pity on us. Linger with us for a while. Would you have pity on us? And just be here and see that some of our needs are met for. Would you have pity on us and share some food with us? Would you have pity on us and share some clothing with us? But Jesus sees more here. He sees that everything they need is wrapped up in their healing. So Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. Now here's the deal. Here's the reason why he is saying to them, I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. It's because the priest is the only one who could let them enter back into society. He is the only one who could give them a clean bill of health. He couldn't cure them, but he could say to them, you're cured, so now you can go back and enter into society. And so he says, this is how I want, what I want you to do. I want you to go to the priest so that he can declare you clean. And so they went, and as they went, they were cleansed. They hadn't even made it to the priest yet, but as they're walking, Scripture says that their skin began to improve. Let me tell you that this is the best product in the world. This is all of Olay God style. I mean, it was just them walking, and their skin began to improve. And so as they went, they were cleansed, and they're looking. Can you just imagine walking down that street as you're walking to the priest, and they're looking, wow, check this out. My skin is clear. Their common cry led them to cry out to Jesus, and Jesus healed them. He understood by healing them that they could go be protected with their family. He understood that by healing them, they could go eat some of their comfort food like they hadn't been able to do for years. And that's something we're all going to be doing later this week, right? You know, I shared with the kids, and I know it's going to sound really weird, but one of my comfort foods is that I absolutely love cranberry sauce. And it's not just any cranberry sauce. It's a very special cranberry sauce. And you want to know what it comes in? It comes in a can that says Ocean Spray. I don't like the cranberry sauce with cranberries in it as well. It's okay, but it's not my favorite. I'm just that plain cranberry jellied sauce. You know, that sauce where you open up the can and you just plop that can over and there it comes out and it's jiggling just like Jell-O. It's got those dents in it from where the can's still there and you can just cut it with a fork. Let me tell you, that is a taste of heaven in my opinion. I absolutely love that stuff. And you know, I'm easy to please. You don't have to work and cook and all that. Just give me a can of cranberry sauce and I'm set. That's just the best stuff in the world. And see, these guys, they had been disconnected from their comfort foods. And he says, you can go back now and you can take part in all of these traditions that you haven't been able to be a part in. You can go back and you can now be part of your family. You can go back and you can now get a job. You can now be a part of society again. And he understood and had pity on them, and he gave them more than what they deserved. Because these men deserved to be outcast. These men deserved to be outside the city. What they deserved was to be far off from Jesus, but yet he gave them so much more. And then in verse 15, we're going to see their response. They had a common illness that bound these guys together. They had a common cry because they understood that it was only God who could cure them, because they saw it as a curse from God. So they cried out to Jesus, and now we're going to see that most of them had a common response. Begin reading and looking here in verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." We see that there is one of the 10 lepers. They're all walking. All 10 were healed. All 10 hadn't made it to the priest yet, but as they were walking, their skin was clear and clean. But all of a sudden, there was one out of the 10 who was different. The one Samaritan, the foreigner, he looks at himself and he says, "I can't believe this. Can this be real?" And then what he does is surprising, because while the other 9 are continuing to walk, and I'm expecting that they're sitting there skipping for joy as they're on their way to that priest. But instead of continuing on to the priest to be able to enter back into society, this one does a 180-degree turn, and he hightails it back to Jesus, and he goes back to Jesus because he understood the healing in a different manner, because it says, just like it speaking of Jesus, it says he saw what had happened. Just like Jesus saw them, he saw what had happened. He didn't see like the other guys. He saw something better. He saw the blessing of God, but it was not a normal blessing. This was a special blessing, and he needed to go back and thank God for it. He realized that he was healed, and he knew he was healed. He saw it as different, and he knew that this was a miracle of God, because his perception was changed. And it says that this leper came back. Something stopped this guy in his tracks, and I believe it was the fact that his perspective changes. Because listen, our response to what God does for us shows our gratitude. It communicates our gratitude. And this guy understood gratitude in a completely different way than the other 9. It's interesting that it is the Samaritan who came back, that this foreigner, and that word's very interesting here in this text, that word used for foreigner there is a word that is used to describe those who cannot enter into the temple. Because he was a foreigner, he was not allowed to go into the temple. And because, see, the Jews who were healed, they probably were going to go back into all aspects of culture. They would go back into the temple. They would go back and worship God. But this Samaritan could not. He was a foreigner. He couldn't go into the temple. But he is the only one who recognizes what God has done for him. And as an expression of his gratitude, he goes back to Christ. He hightails it back to Jesus, and the passage tells us he throws himself at the feet of Jesus, and he's there worshiping him. Instead of being able to go back to the temple, he is standing face to face with the Almighty God, worshiping him completely and fully. This guy was an outsider. He is an outcast, but we see it is him who is standing face to face with Jesus. And remember, the face is the most intimate part of the body. He couldn't go to the temple, but he was face to face because his gratitude led him to worship God. It was an expression of gratitude. And he got a major blessing on the back end of this healing that the other 9 did not experience. We don't know why the other nine didn't return. We're not sure, but there's some speculative reasons that I ran across I'd like to share with you. This was said, one way to see if the cure was real. Is this real? Is this really taking place? Someone pinch me. One way to see if it would actually last. Hey, this is great for now, but what about tomorrow? One waited and said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he didn't have leprosy to begin with. One said he would have gotten well anyways. One gave glory to the priest. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done this. And the last guy said, well, I was already much improved anyway. So they all went back to their homes. I don't know why they didn't come back to Jesus, but we see that one was different. And I love the expression in verse 15. It says, he went back and he praised God with a loud voice. Now, I know some of y'all struggle with me. I know it. Because I'm told this all the time, and I hear it all the time about my kids as well. They take after me, I've been told. We're kind of loud. I can be very, very loud at times. I can't hide it. Well, when I get excited, guess what? My voice goes up. When I'm sad, I'm totally different. I know sometimes we want people just... When you're happy, you talk like this. When you're sad, you talk like this. When you're normal, you just talk like this. There's no changes in anything. But I can't do it. I'm telling you, when I get excited, it shows. It comes out, especially in my voice. And I'm sorry about that. But here, I don't know what this guy is. I don't know whether it's an introvert or extrovert, because some people say the extroverts are the loud ones, introverts are the quiet ones. But I can tell you I'm the biggest introvert in the world, and it didn't work for me because I'm not the quiet one. I don't know what this guy is, but can you imagine? This is the guy who always had to be standing back over here in the corner when anybody passed. Unclean, unclean, stay away from me. But I imagine this guy, he's clean now, and he runs back to Jesus, and he grabs him by the shoulder, and he's just saying, woo-hoo, look at me, I'm clean. Yes, thank you, Jesus, thank you. That's what I see him doing. He's praising God. He's full of excitement because of what God has done. But you know what the problem is? So many times when we begin to speak to God, we might cry out to God with a loud voice. God, don't you see what's going on? God, can't you help me? God, can't you just solve this problem in my life? Don't you see how bad it is? And then when God answers our prayers, we're like, thank you, God. That's so cool. Thank you. We might be loud and calling out to God when we're in trouble, but when it comes to our blessing, we're often so quiet. God, just help me. But what we see is not this guy. This guy is just going nuts in expressing his gratitude and his praise and his worship. Here's this guy in full submission, worshiping God, clinging to his feet. Christ follower here today, when was the last time that you clung to the feet of Jesus with loud thanksgiving and loud praise? Not just in your prayer time when you're going, God, check out my life. This is a mess. But when have you cried out to God? God, I can't believe this. God, I can't believe all the blessings I have. I'm so overwhelmed with how good you are to me. It doesn't make sense, God. I don't deserve it, God. God, this is just insane that you would let me be a part of this great and amazing work. Now, these other guys, I don't know why they didn't come back. All those responses I gave are just suggested responses, but let's just assume that they said, well, of course, I'm a Jew. Of course, I have my job to go back to because I'm a self-made man. Just look at my family. Look at all that I have. Look at all that I have created. Look at the legacy that I'm leaving, but not this guy. Can you imagine for the leper? The most significant thing the leper could have was a certificate of cleanliness that could only be given to him by the priest. This is the most significant thing he could have in his life. But as this man was walking and he began to notice that his skin had been healed and he saw his perception was different and he recognized that there was something more important in his life than that certificate of cleanliness, and that was worshiping and thanking God. May I ask, how are we doing in the thanking God category? I believe that many of us get lost in the common blessings. Every lung in here today that is filled with air, that is a blessing from God. Every car that is in the parking lot, that is a blessing from God. The clothes on your back right now are a blessing from God. The job you have is a gift from God. Your personality is a gift from God. Your intellect is a gift from God. And I believe what happens is we get so lost in the common blessings that we forget the blessings that God has given us. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it like this: if the stars came out only once a year, everyone would stay up at night to look at them. But we have seen them so often that we don't bother to look at them anymore. The same thing happens with the blessings in our life. Are the blessings in your life like that art piece on the wall? That you've seen it so many times that you just take it for granted? It's there and you don't even look at it anymore. You know, when you first got it and you first hung it up on the wall, you would gaze at it and think, what a beautiful piece of art that is. But now it's just a picture hanging there on the wall. You pass it every day. And I think we need to be like this leper so that our perspective changes, so that our response to what Christ has done emanates in gratitude. And in my studying, I found this list of some things that we should be thankful for. And I hope that this helps change our perspective today. It says, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that are a little too snug because it means I have plenty to eat. Did you know if you have food in the fridge, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world? I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for the spot that I find at the end of the parking lot while I'm Black Friday shopping because it means I'm capable of walking. If you have money in the bank, money in your wallet, spare change in your pocket, it means you are in the top 8% of the world's wealthy. I'm thankful for the man who sits behind me who sings off key at church because that means I can hear. May I just say I'm thankful that nobody sits in front of me, because at least I hope that would be what would be said about me instead of something even more ugly, because I can't sing worth a flip. Or if the alarm goes off early in the morning, it means you are alive. If when you woke up you have more health than illness, it means you are better off than a million people who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can read the words that we've had on the screen here today, then you are more blessed than 2 billion plus people in the world who cannot read at all. And if you can attend church like you are right now without the fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, then you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world today. Let's look at verse 19 again. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word well is very important. That word is so special because here, the root of that word is the same root that is tied to the word in the New Testament that is used for salvation. His faith has caused this man to turn around. All 10 of them were obedient. They all prayed these prayers. They cried out to God. They said, have pity on us. And they heard him. And they were obedient on the spot. He said, go to the priest. They were all obedient. They didn't linger. They didn't delay. They immediately obeyed God. And behold, God was good to them. He healed them. And one man comes back. And it is his gratitude that he has that leads him to authentic worship, where he got face to face with the Almighty God. And the scripture says, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. On that day, there were 10 lepers who were healed, but there was only one who was made well. There was only one who was made whole, both physically and spiritually, because in this moment, his faith saved him. His faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And we find ourselves ending where we started. Our response to what Christ has done for you and for me shows our gratitude for him. Christ follower, How are you doing today? How's your think tank? Is your think tank full? Are you crying out to God, thank you? Is there thanksgiving coming from your lips? And if so, how's your thanks living? Because this God not only shared words, but I guarantee you, from this day on, his life was drastically changed as he was made whole on the outside and the inside. Today, are you clinging to Christ with gratitude? I don't want to miss this either. Notice there was a common illness that brought these men together. This common illness was leprosy. And today, guess what? There is a common illness that unites every single human being that exists. And it's called sin. And just like leprosy would eventually kill you, it wouldn't kill you because of the skin, but it would mess you up so much on the inside that it would kill you. Just like leprosy, our sin will kill us both physically and spiritually. It will destroy us. But there's a crying out that we can do. We can cry out to the Almighty God that he would save us, that he would have mercy on us, that he would show grace and favor towards us, that we could be made whole, not just healed, but that we could be made whole, that we could be connected with the Almighty God in a personal relationship through Jesus Christ. And if you are here today and you're saying, I'm trying to figure out what church is all about, that if you are far from God, if you're like these lepers who were far from Jesus saying, unclean, unclean, that is where they should have been. But if your hearts are full of sin, then guess what? You are full, far from God. You are unclean, unclean, but you can be close. Jesus says, if you will trust in me, if you understand that I am the truth, the way, and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through me, that if you trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can be saved. And that can be you today. If you are far from God today, you can cry out to God with a common cry, God, I'm such a sinner. I need to be saved by your grace. I need to be saved by your mercy through you alone. And that could be you. And you could have, though, the common response to Jesus that most people do. Most people reject him. Most people say, I love the sunshine. I love the beach. I love my house. I love my clothes. Thank you. But they miss having a personal relationship with him. Or you could have what should be the common response. And that is the response of the leper who came back. And you say, God, I owe you everything. God, thank you for every single blessing I have in my life. I want to live in such a way that honors and glorifies you. I don't want it just to roll off my lips, God. I want it to come exploding out of my life. I want to live my life in such a way that there is complete thanks to you, Jesus, that people will see you, the Almighty God, living within me. Is that you today? So we're going to sing a song of invitation here, and as we sing, it is up to you to respond. Do you need to know Christ today? Are you far from him? Because he wants you to come and cling to his feet and cry out to him. Because he can save you and forgive you of your sin and heal you. Or maybe today we've just been lost in all the blessings in our life. Just that we experience every single day. And we have failed to give God thanks for all the mighty things he has done in our life. Maybe it's a time of coming and repenting and crying out to God. And saying those six powerful letters, thanks. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done in my life. Thank you for everything that I have been able to share with so many here. The blessings that you have just showered upon each and every single one of us. Father, we often take them for granted. Father, we often forget. We don't think through them as blessings. So often things happen in our lives and we give credit elsewhere. We give credit to other people. We give credit to ourselves. We give credit to the circumstances in our life. And we fail to remember that it is you and you alone who has blessed us. It is you and you alone who showers us with mercy and grace. It is you and you alone who is deserving of that thanks. But so often we are like the 9 lepers who just keep going on in our life. And we fail to return and to run back to cling to the feet of Jesus and to worship Him. So many times we come into this church on Sunday morning just because it is habit. So many times we come into this church on Sunday and we're failing to have the worshipful heart that we should because it isn't starting with thanksgiving for the blessings you have given us. So, Father, I pray that here today that maybe our perspectives need to change. I pray that through the work of the Spirit, we would begin to see these blessings that you have showered upon us. And so that every single day, every single second, we would recognize that you and you alone are deserving to give of our thanks. And Father, that we would be thankful and that our thankfulness would lead us to worship just like this one leper. That we would always be at your feet, clinging to you with loud praise. But Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, I pray that today could be their day of salvation, that they would turn from their sin, that they would turn from their self-dependence, and that they would trust in what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and on the third day rose from the dead so that we could be known as children of God. Father, let them today make that move so that they could begin that walk of thankfulness every single day for the rest of their life. Father, we pray that we would just always live a life of thanks. Not just saying, but that it would flow out of every action that we make, everything we say, so that people would see your glory and your power and your majesty. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing our invitation hymn. There is a redeemer.